We have a full slate here today. We have three smiling guests in the studio. Why don't you introduce our guests?
Well, we're talking with three folks from Bonnery General Health. We have with us Skylar Twight. And Skylar, can you say hi and get fixed on your voice?
Yeah, hi. I'm Skylar. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for Bonnery General Health.
Mm-hmm. And Daniel Holland?
Hi. My name is Daniel Holland, and I'm a Director of Ancillary Operations at Bonnery General Health.
Okay. We'll have to dig in on what that means in just a minute here.
Sure.
And Sandy Brower.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for having us. I'm the Public Information Officer for Bonnery General.
Okay. Yes. Again, we are speaking with three folks from Bonnery General Health. Skylar Twight, he's the Chief Financial Officer. Daniel Holland, Director of Ancillary Services. And Sandy Brower, she's the Public Information Officer. And I tell you what, before we get into talking about the Community Health Needs Assessment Survey and other things too, like how Medicaid cuts are going to be affecting Bonnery General, let's hear a little bit about your guys' stories and tell us a little bit about your background and what your roles are I want to say the hospital, but it's Bonnery General Health. It's actually more than just a hospital. So, Skylar, let's start with you.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for pointing out that it's more than just a hospital, because we do truly take pride in taking care of the full community here in Sandpoint, Idaho. So my journey, I'm working on the second year at my tenure as CFO at the Bonnery General Health. I'm a University of Idaho alum. I grew up here in North Idaho. So
Go Vandals.
Yeah, that's right. Go Vandals. You always have to get that in there. So I grew up here in North Idaho in Kellogg, Idaho. And so that's where I graduated high school. And after I graduated college, found myself in Coeur d'Alene and eventually started working at Kootenai Health. So that's where I got a lot of my healthcare background. Prior to that, I did work for a public accounting firm that taught me a lot of the inner workings of the finance of rural healthcare, which was very helpful as well. So I did a lot of preparation of audits and Medicare cost reports at that time. At Kootenai Health, I did a lot of financial analytics and working with the higher level teams there. The opportunity arose to raise my family in a beautiful spot north Idaho of Sandpoint, Idaho, and that's what drew me up here. And I have been happy ever since. So it's been a heck of a journey so far. But I work with an awesome team, and two of them are here with me today.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Skylar. And Daniel Holland, tell us a little bit about yourself and what your role is.
Sure. So I'm actually a Sandpoint local. So I'm truly back home, getting to raise my kids in the community that helped raise both my wife and I, which is wonderful. Graduated.
Go Bulldogs.
Yeah. That's right. And then also go Vandals. I'm also a University of Idaho graduate. Went to NIC as well. Did grad school at Colorado State. And started out as a radiologic technologist. So in medical imaging, actually the one operating the equipment, interfacing with the patients, dealing with people in trauma situations. And did that for about 5 years before I took over as director of imaging in 2017. And then a couple years ago, transitioned into director of ancillary services role as well, which is just a broader role. Ancillary services really are a broad term describing service lines that the hospital has that really aren't necessarily physician driven. They're after you go see your physician, they have orders they want you to get done, diagnostic tests, those sorts of things. So I manage a lot of departments that serve the community from that function, such as still imaging and then laboratory services as well.
Would physical therapy fall under that?
Yes, they could, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and there's a wide range of clinical and other services that the hospital, that Bonnery General Health provides. Sorry. Okay. An old habit of calling it hospital. It's been, I don't know, more than 10 years since it really rebranded as Bonnery General.
I think that was 2015.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I believe that was 2015.
Yeah. And Sandy Brower, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Bonnery General.
So my healthcare journey started much earlier than these two gentlemen. I'm a little bit older. So I've been in healthcare since probably 1985. Started off with Sacred Heart Medical Center in Spokane, Washington. I moved to Idaho probably 30 years ago and was a dental assistant for a local dentist here. Then moved to pharmacy, where I worked for White Cross Pharmacy, big plug for them. I think they're awesome. Mm-hmm. worked for them for 16 years, then left that and moved to Bonner General in the pharmacy department. Moved from pharmacy to risk management, from risk management to the director of quality and risk management. And I'm also the compliance officer and the privacy officer for the organization. Mm-hmm.
So director of quality, how do you execute that role?
So we have a staff of about three people underneath a team. We have the infection preventionist. We have also a nurse, patient experience RN to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our patients and collecting that data and trending how that looks. And then we also collect a lot of quality data that we submit to CMS and other governing bodies mm-hmm. to make sure that we're meeting requirements of
yes.
CMS
and
providing excellent care, right? Yeah. We trend that excellent care.
Mm-hmm. A lot of requirements come with this field.
For sure. Course, we participate in Medicare, so there's several rules that come along with that.
Yeah. Okay, well, the main topic we wanted you to get in to speak to today is the Community Health Needs Assessment Survey that's underway right now. And it's something that Bonner General does every 3 years. Tell us what that is and why it's important for people to participate in that.
So the Community Health Needs Assessment is a vessel or a way for us to find out what health issues matter most to the people that live in Bonner County. So it helps the hospital better understand health challenges and what our community faces. So mm-hmm. super important that we hear from everybody. It's also a requirement, by the way.
Oh, a requirement of?
It's a requirement of the Affordable Cares Act. So okay. In order for us to keep our nonprofit status, we have to do this survey every 3 years.
Okay.
I think we'd do it anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Because it does give you useful information.
For sure.
But how do you actually implement, use that information to change what you might be offering in terms of health services?
Sure. I think we could probably go back and look at 2022 and that health needs assessment to give kind of an illustration of, what kind of issues arise and then as well as what we've done since then. So in 2022, mental health, preventative health, access to care, and obesity were the top four. Mental health, we've expanded quite a bit. We have six different providers now that specialize in a lot of different areas, including pediatrics and trauma. So that's incredible. It's very unique to have such a small community, have such a talented group of mental health professionals. Preventative health is an interesting one because it kind of rolls into access to care as well, but preventative health, we've seen our family practice grow immensely since 2024. We've brought on internal med. Both those two services together really provide a lot of the foundation for Bonner General's engagement in preventative health. And we also added in a second mammography machine that was in spring of 2023. And, access to diagnostic care specifically is one of the chief deterrents to having good health outcomes in a rural community. There's direct links between having access to screening mammograms and higher incidence of aggressive cancers. So we've really tried to bolster that as well. We've seen, since we placed that mammo unit in, we've seen a 28% increase in the last 2 years of mammography being used. We also placed a second CT scanner. That was huge. We've seen a 27% increase in CTs in that same 2 year time span. Last summer, we expanded greatly the access to MRI. MRI, we only have one unit, but there was some new technology that's come out that has really shaped the way that we can engage with the community. It allows us to have better quality images, but also scan the patient faster. Nobody likes to be in that little tube. Especially for a long period of time, right? So that's been absolutely wonderful, and we've seen a fairly large increase since then. So I think we've been able to show the last 3 years that this information that comes in, we act upon it. We figure out where those holes are, and then we change and we adapt.
when you're talking about preventative medicine, mm-hmm. having diagnostic tools and getting the scans and the results sooner is kind of preventative, because the mm-hmm. sooner the better kind of mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
For sure. And I can speak specifically, you know, through radiology. There are places that you go in and you get your MRI done and it gets read in 7, 14, sometimes 20 days. We're turning those over within 24 hours.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
And then also for preventative health, mm-hmm. we'll call it, lifestyle.
Sure.
And correct. So what has Bonner General Health put together in that respect? Maybe work, as you say, working mm-hmm. with internal medicine mm-hmm. and other practices that are part of the bigger picture.
So I'll go and speak to that one a bit. For me, on that side of it, it's really making sure, it goes back to what Daniel was speaking about, access of care, and making sure that there are enough primary care providers for people to choose from in our community so they can go to their clinic checkups, make sure that they're on track with their health goals, rather than letting it, you know, neglecting their health goals and whatnot. So that's a big part of it as well, is just patient access and making sure that our community is very aware of what we can offer for them.
Yeah. Are there direct programs for lifestyle health that is preventative?
So through the 2022 Community Health Needs Assessment, one of the things that was brought up was, you know, obesity. With that, we brought on a licensed dietitian. So that was a piece of what we wanted to speak about with that. So that's that is an option for our patients to speak to that individual and set up a plan, a kind of a lifestyle plan to get them back on track with that. Correct.
That's yeah. what I was thinking yeah. about, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
One more add-on for access, actually, that I think is really important and a change in the last 5-6 years in healthcare is the way the consumer's engaging in the market. We have a lot of patients who are underinsured, who have really high deductibles, and the cost to get care can be a large deterrent to actually seeking out essential care. So we're trying to make some changes with the way that we engage with those type of patients. And we recently launched some new cash pay systems for both CT and MRI with the intent to really be aggressive in that discount for patients that are either truly uninsured or who are underinsured, so that they don't have cost be that item that deters them from getting that essential care done. Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is a big issue for an awful lot of people. So I'm going to mention this a couple of times as we're speaking today. If you go to bonnergeneral.org and go under the resources tab, you will see a link to this year's survey. Mm-hmm. So that's how people can access it to take it. Mm-hmm. And you can also see links to the surveys done in 2022 and 2019. You can see the information that was collected in the surveys. Mm-hmm. So that, again, that's bonnergeneral.org. Go under resources and then go to the community health needs survey that you'll see there.
Can I add one more thing sure. about access to care? I think it's important to mention, too, that Bonner General is really trying to do that continuity of care. We're trying to make sure that we provide services to our community here, meet our patients where they live. So that's why when we take this survey, it's super important that we identify those gaps so we can fill those in so people aren't having to travel, because that's also a burden, right? That's mm-hmm. also a deterrent to healthcare, is when you have to travel an hour one way and back. So another reason why the survey is really important is to identify those gaps so we can focus on those gaps and provide those services, or our folks can get their health care here and we can keep it all in one loop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in past years that you've done the survey, how big is your sample size there? How many people actually take the survey, and how are we doing so far this year since the survey's been out for a month or more already?
So the last survey, I believe the number was over 1,200 participants or surveys that we were able to collect. We're hoping to collect even more than that this time around. I think the last number that I heard, which was actually a couple weeks ago, was close to 800. So I haven't checked recently. I don't know if you guys have, but I I think that we'll at least hit that 1,200 mark or more, especially with the traction we're getting today.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully this helps.
And that survey will be open through the end of August.
Through the end of August. So you don't have to rush there, folks, but you should go and participate in this. And you don't have to reveal any personal information if you don't want to on the survey. They do invite you to the survey invites you to give your email address if you'd like to get the Bonner General Health. I think you have a regular newsletter you send out. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's very handy. I get the newsletter, and the link to the survey came in the newsletter, and that's how I got to the survey myself. And I'm just curious, is that number, like, for the size of our community, is that a good showing of survey responses, or is it average, or...?
It's a really good question. I don't really know what a benchmark to compare that to, but when you look at the population of Sandpoint in the greater area, looking at over 10,000 in population in Sandpoint here and getting 1,200, I would think that if you're getting close to a 15% mark, you're feeling pretty good.
That's pretty good for a survey.
And good representation of the community.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're after is getting a good amount of people that really represent the communities.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting the local healthcare providers to participate by getting the word out to their patients, handing them a card, or say, here, take the survey if you can, please? Do you have a marketing plan for getting the survey out?
I believe most of the marketing has been going through our social media as well as as well as the website itself.
Yeah, that makes it, when you go from a story in a newspaper to get someone online, it's a big push. But when you get you see a post on Facebook, or if you see it in a newsletter, there's a link, you click and you're right there.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the radio right now, the survey is available. Right, and how do you get to the survey?
You go to bonnergeneral.org and go under the resources tab, and you'll see a link to the community health needs assessment surveys there. And again, you can take this year's survey, and you can also see some results from previous year's surveys. Speaking of those past surveys, what do they show in terms of how we compare to, say, national averages? Are we kind of average, or are we lacking in certain areas?
You know, what's interesting just about this survey in and of itself is that it's not necessarily really a comparison to other communities. While I think rural health has certain items that we inherently struggle with, access, mental health, preventative care are fairly common across the country from a rural health standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I noticed one of the questions that is in the survey is asking about, as we already were talking about, access. Access, of course, is really important. And how big a portion of our respondents in past surveys have said that access is really a problem for them? Do we know that number?
It's been high because it's been one of our key focuses almost every year. So when we get the surveys, we have groups that come together and review the surveys and then prioritize. And it's been one of the higher marks, I would say, that need our attention.
Right. So, and that's how you use that information. So this is something that we need to focus on.
Right.
Right. For me, haven't had a lot of health problems, thankfully. So I haven't experienced any problems with health access. But other people I know, they may indeed. And of course, access also includes having insurance. And I don't know if you can speak to the numbers here being we have people adequately covered with insurance or not.
First, I think access is an interesting variable, because access really is two different things. It's not just having the service itself. It's also the ease of use of that service. Because you can have something, but if you have to wait 30 days to get to use it, then that's a problem. So one of the things that we've really tried to prioritize is what we do have to make it very easy to use and to have really short wait times. Both those things, I think, are key elements to actually solving the problem of access. I just wanted to make sure that
Wait times is an issue, I'm sure. Yeah. You mentioned that you past surveys identify mental health as something that the community wants to is concerned about, and it does seem like mental health is getting more attention now than it has in the past, and people seeing it as a condition that's treatable, and it's losing some of the stigma. So we've done, you know, surveys in 2019 and 2022. Do we see some progress in that regard?
Well, I think as far as Bonner General Health goes, we've definitely hired more providers. We want a robust mental health outpatient service. We've added providers. I think we have 6 now. So we're taking that very seriously. I think mental health across the nation is, like you said, is drawing a lot of attention. So how do we address that? How do we meet those patients' needs? Unfortunately, I think what we're lacking in Northern Idaho is those inpatient services. So how do we navigate that when somebody comes in and needs those inpatient services? So we work really hard to collaborate and cultivate those relationships with inpatient mental health hospitals throughout the state as well as the country to make sure that we can then transfer those patients that need that higher level of care. But Bonner General Health is an outpatient behavioral health clinic. We're pretty robust in trying to meet those behavioral health needs.
Do you interface with some of the other organizations out there that are trying to provide mental health services? And I'm thinking specifically of NAMI Far North because had those folks in here just a couple weeks ago to talk to them.
Yeah, I actually participated in Sandpoint Leadership last year, and we raised quite a bit of money for that organization. So I think all the mental behavioral health providers in our county and in our city work very well together in trying to meet the needs of those patients.
Yeah. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and they do have a local chapter.
They're excellent.
And they're really providing a lot of support for people in town. There is a supplemental section of the survey this year that I didn't notice last year. To ask for more details on specific subjects, like, for instance, women's health. I didn't do that part because I don't know about that. Okay. But there was one on food insecurity in the community. Of course, we have a lot of local organizations that help get food for those in need. And we have the food bank and Food for Our Children. Sandpoint Area Seniors has a food program. And other groups like Angels Over Sandpoint, Sandpoint Rotary, make that kind of a giving focus as well. I guess my question is, does this help you judge how big our unmet needs are here? And also, what role does Bonner General play?
All right, I'll go ahead and start. And yes, this is a very good indicator of our health and of our community as well. And this is something that Bonner General has been aware of, is the food insecurity here in the area. So one of the ways that we do participate with this is we do give a grant over to the Food for Our Children of $25,000. We've done that the last 2 years. So we do kind of do that in the background, making sure that we are supporting this food insecurity issue.
Well, we know that one of the things, because we've had the food bank and Food for Our Children in here to talk about the fact that children come to school without proper breakfast. They need lunches. I don't know what's going to happen with the free and reduced lunch program. But also on the weekends, that's where Food for Our Children has their backpack program. It used to be called that. It's kind of they send home food. Because malnutrition in children, how do their brains develop? How do their bones develop? Mm-hmm. How do they go forward in the world? So you're getting it at the source, at the beginning.
Correct. Earlier we talked about preventative care. I would say that's probably the first building block of preventable care right there.
A good diet, yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So,
Can I add to that?
Sure.
I'm sorry. So we also do a survey or a questionnaire for our inpatients and our patients that are seen in the clinics, where we want to know what are those deterrents of healthcare. One of those questions is, are you hungry? Do you have food insecurity? If we get yes answers to those, then we provide them a list of services in the community organizations where they can go. So we are trying to identify those areas where their deterrence to healthcare? Is it transportation? Is it food insecurity? Is it utility insecurity? So we're addressing that daily with all of our inpatients and our clinic patients.
So a real resource, and just with information and other support services in our community. I just want our listeners to know, if you just tuned in or you've been listening all this time, this is 88.5 KRFY. This is your community radio station, and we are a listener-supported. So you can go to our website at krfy.org. And there is a donate button if you so choose. But we appreciate your listening today. We're here in the studio with Bonner General Health folks. We have Skylar Twight. He is the Chief Financial Officer, Daniel Holland, Director of Ancillary Services, and Sandy Brower, Director of Quality and Public Information Officer. So this is a very exciting topic. We shall continue.
Well, actually, I've gone through my questions about the health survey, and I did take it. I will mention again that if you're listening and you haven't taken the health needs assessment survey, go to bonnergeneral.org, and up in the top, you'll see the buttons there. Under the resources button, you'll find a link that leads to the 2025 Community Health Needs Assessment Survey there. And you may see it on Facebook, or you may get it in a newsletter, so you can click on the links you see there, too, as well, to get to it. But as our guests have said, it's really important that as many people as possible participate in this so we can identify what the health needs of the community are. And what other information would you like to get out about the survey specifically?
So I would just like to say that just, again, encourage all folks to take the survey because it is very helpful for us to know how to plan for the future for our community. We definitely take different things in consideration, but this is one of the top considerations we will take in as we make our decisions going forward. One of the things that is a main goal for us is keeping the community in the community, so keeping our patients here in Sandpoint. And so that is a major passion for us going forward. Mm-hmm. So I encourage all folks to go out and take the survey, and that will help us keep you here in Sandpoint.
You know, we were talking about this yesterday, actually, and that's, you know, through all these initiatives we've done, especially with preventative care and access, we've seen such a large and immediate change in the patients that are moving through our system. To me, to us, that's a testament that they're using it, that means they're trusting us. And that's, you know, for us, very appreciative to the community as a whole that they're engaged with us in the way that we're trying to engage with them. And this is just one other avenue that they can engage with us so that then we can continue to make changes that will benefit them.
Besides providing great health care here in our community with what you have, knowing what is needed is part of that picture. So. Yeah. Take the survey.
Take the survey. Chip in. Your this, and it all comes down to what every individual experiences or thinks about health needs in the community, and because everybody has a different take on things, and it as many threads as we can get will help us, you know, weave the services we need here. Well, let's talk about a second topic now. And it's been very much in the news, and that is that substantial cuts to Medicaid were recently approved by the President and Congress. I'm going to give a little preface here. Our congressional delegation all voted for it. It's going to reduce federal funding for Medicaid by $863 billion over the next 10 years, and for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP as it's known, by $295 billion over 10 years. The Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan arm of Congress, estimates that about 10.9 million people could lose their coverage. Now, for the record, Idaho's U.S. Senator Mike Crapo said last week that no one's going to be forced off Medicaid. That's his quote. The Capitol Sun report quoted him as saying, "No one's benefits were cut in this legislation unless you're a person who is not an American citizen, not legally present in America, or if you're a person who's registered in multiple states and getting payments in multiple states." So obviously the Idaho congressional delegation stands by their decision to vote in favor of reducing Medicaid this way. But all that aside, the logic says that if you remove $863 million in funding, that some Medicaid recipients are going to lose their coverage. So I guess my question, and I think this probably goes to our CFO, is there a projection for how many Medicaid recipients might be affected in our community with this cut in the funding?
So that's a very good question. And immediately when I saw the big, beautiful bill come through, that was my first thought as well. Well, how is this going to affect the community? So where I lean there is I lean on the things that I do know, because it is shrouded with uncertainty, especially with the timing of the way that this might unveil, because it's still a ways out that a lot of this may take effect, which is in 2027. So a lot can change still from there. However, let's kind of lean on what we do know. Knowing what our payer mix is, and for the audience, what a payer mix is how are our patients insured? What's the mix of our patients? Are they insured by Medicare, Medicaid, a commercial payer, or are they uninsured? That's kind of the main four that we're kind of looking at there. So understanding our payer mix is kind of the first part of understanding how this is going to affect the hospital in the long run. So with that being said, I do know that the state of Idaho in rural healthcare can range from 15 to about 25% of their Medicaid being, or excuse me, their payer mix actually being Medicaid. I do want to let people know here in Sandpoint, our Medicaid percentage at at Bonner General Health is sitting about 11%. So that's a little bit lower than what we've seen throughout the state, which tells me that the impact might be a little bit lower than some of the other hospitals that might be feeling it throughout the rural communities. With that being said, though, my confidence does not waver in Bonner General being able to take care of our community, because that's the number one goal. It is inevitable that we will see some changes. The changes are uncertain at the moment, but my initial gut feeling on it is that we will see our uninsured patient population go up, which really just burdens our healthcare system more than anything. So that's something that we do need to prepare for. And we all need to be aware of, and make sure that we're aware of how this will affect all of us, and be smart consumers with our health care as well.
Yeah. Well, so if somebody does lose Medicaid, and they have so they don't have insurance, and let's say you wouldn't be getting Medicaid unless you were already lower income. How are their health care needs going to be met? Obviously, they probably won't even be seeking health care until it becomes a more urgent need.
Sure. That's a great question. One thing that I think has ran true for us, especially this last 5 years, is that there's always uncertainty. There's always a problem. There's always something that we're going to have to be adaptive and solution-driven toward. The last 5 years has really kind of helped, specifically Bonner General, I'm sure everywhere, but we feel like we've been really galvanized to make strategic changes to meet the community's needs where they're at. So for us, for me specifically, I think for all of us, what legislation is out there, while it can certainly make the acute nature of the uncertainty feel bigger, it doesn't change the way we're going to engage with our community. It doesn't change the way we're going to practice medicine. It doesn't necessarily change the way we're going to ensure that we're meeting those needs. Those needs are going to change. We're going to then adapt.
Mm-hmm. And it will take some creativity in some ways, and maybe thinking outside of the box to take care of our community. One way that we can continue to think creatively and outside of the box to take care of the community, Daniel mentioned it earlier, is we're bringing cash pay. And what that means is you can pay out of pocket up front for some services. That's really the idea of keeping people in our community, also battling the patient access, as well as the growing costs of our insurance. So that's one creative way that we're trying to move forward and helping our community that way.
Are you talking about possibly financing as part of the component. So someone's bill is going to be, we'll just say $1,000, mm-hmm. and they have $100, so they mm-hmm. need to make up the $900, mm-hmm. and they could pay overtime.
So we actually already do have that program okay. going on, and we do not plan to get rid of that. That is definitely something that will be available for our patients for sure. So we have an exceptional billing office, a patient financial service office. You can work with them, get a plan together, and work through it that way as well.
Correct. That's known as our BGH Cares.
Yep.
And it seems like what you're really talking about is meeting the mission of Bonner General Health. And we haven't really talked about that. It's obvious what it is in a way, but is there a mission statement that you have on the top of your head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To improve health, inspire wellness, and save lives.
There you go. So you are going to be very creative in how you're going, and you are, in how you do that in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Do you interface much with Bonner Partners in Care? Which is a organization that is trying to create a healthcare safety net here in Bonner mm-hmm. County.
Yeah. I actually do frequently. One of the things that kind of comes with the territory of ancillary services is really trying to partner with the area providers, ensuring that their needs are being met, that they're being able to get their patients in. And so I go out fairly routinely, almost once a quarter, to try to talk with as many of them as I can. And so I'm very familiar with the physicians that donate their time to Bonner Partners in Care.
Yeah.
And so, yes, most definitely we try to make sure that their needs are being met. And if they have any problems or issues with getting their patients through our system, then we try to address those. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just for folks that are listening, the Bonner Partners in Care is a organization that provides healthcare safety net to those who don't have insurance. So you can learn more about that if you go to BonnerPartnersInCare.org. So with this reduction in Medicaid funding, is this going to put more onus on local and state governments to come up with some money to help fund these things?
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Which is also shrouded with uncertainty as well for us. But again, we can just tread along, making sure that we're taking care of our community. And I just want to say that, you know, if you ever get a chance to lobby with somebody and talk with about taking care of rural healthcare, please do. Because sometimes those voices maybe don't travel as far as we would like, unfortunately. But
It sounds like a diverse approach is part of it, but it also sounds like a strong community spirit is essential. We're very fortunate that it's a small community in a way, mm-hmm. And to have this quality of health care available, we pick up the pieces because we care.
And you nailed it. Yep.
Community is the word I'm thinking of. So a broad base of support, diverse.
Correct.
So one more question on this topic. We've been talking about the impacts on individuals, but how are the funding cuts likely to affect the financial health of Bonner General Health?
That's also a good question. As I'm navigating this, kind of trying to figure that out as well. One of the areas that we do get some help as a rural health hospital or health system is what we get is called an upper payment limit. And what that upper payment limit is, it's basically a match of what Medicare would have reimbursed us for the same services, but we to meet us for Medicaid. That's going to be severely cut and maybe go all the way away. So that's a really uncertainty for us on what's going to happen with that. So that's a bit of a safety net for a hospital taking care of a high population of Medicaid. So that's one way that we can definitely get hit financially as a hospital. The other way is the shift in our payer mix of what I spoke earlier is predominantly we would see the payer of Medicaid that would supporting this population probably go to an uninsured population. So the onus and being able to collect on there goes to the brick and mortar hospitals in your rural communities, which makes it really difficult. We talked about the payment plans earlier. We can definitely do that, but that delays cash flow for these rural health facilities in order to do that as well. It does come with challenges. But with that, the one focus is taking care of the community. And our confidence stays very high with that going into the future.
Okay. Can I just add one more thing to that? I think the last message I'd like to add to this is that we just want to make sure that people aren't afraid. And there's a lot of fear with legislation and the unknown that things are being said that rural hospitals are going to close down across the nation. We just want our community to know not to be afraid. Bonner General is going to be here. We're going to stay true to our mission, and we're going to continue to provide the best care we can for our community and our patients.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we got a few more minutes left to dive into one more topic. It's actually kind of a happy topic, if you ask me, and that's that the Bonner General Health has an exoskeleton therapy program, and recently you sent out a press release earlier here in July about this program. Tell us, this is to help people that are suffering some severe neurologic injuries, but why don't you tell us what the exoskeleton is and what the program is?
Sure. So it really kind of is exactly what it sounds like, which is a kind of an exterior rigid system that a person stands in, and it supports them so that they can actually learn to walk again. They can create those new neural pathways, get muscle memory again, and really go through the process of truly learning to walk again. Mm-hmm. It's been so if you've ever, I think we all have, all three of us have, the first floor of our HSB building is usually where they're doing this, and it's been pretty incredible to get to see a patient who probably hasn't walked for possibly years up and walking for the first time. Getting up and moving is incredibly important, but the other piece that's equally as important is the hope it provides. And to get to see that from the family's perspective as well, mm-hmm. their loved one who has been wheelchair bound, who gets to now walk for the first time again, mm-hmm. it's really quite incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can actually benefit them by building more neurological connectors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's, of course, one of the main goals of the,
yes.
of the program. How many are people like coming from outside the area to use this machine?
I think the closest one, I believe it's Wenatchee. I might be wrong on that.
The next closest one,
right?
Exoskeleton.
That is a ways away.
Yeah.
So certainly this is, having this here are bringing patients in and getting to experience our culture, what we do that maybe would never have done it before. And mm-hmm. that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen the exoskeleton, but I've seen pictures of it,
yeah.
and it's kind of reminds me of that that thing in Alien where they
yep.
they strap into these big these big kind of robot things, and it's similar in that way, and that it amplifies the I don't know, your extremities to be able to move, right?
And I think it's really, people don't really understand what goes in your body in order to actually walk. The length of your stride, the way that your knees bend, the way that your hips flex, there's so much that goes in. And what this allows to do is to program it. So you're going to get the proper gait for your height and your width.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually is going to teach them to walk the way that they're supposed to walk,
mm-hmm.
which is catered for each individual person.
Mm-hmm. One more question on this. It sounds like there's been benefits to Bonner General Health to have this program, which is innovative in this wide region. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It has been very, it's very encouraging. Like I said, there's some real medical reasons why this program is fantastic for patients. But the hope that it brings to the families and the individual themselves, I think, is just as important. With that hope, there's an additional engagement in the actual therapy itself. Mm-hmm. And if you're engaged in your therapy because you actually feel like it's making a difference, then it's probably going to make a bigger difference than it would otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very neat program.
Excellent. And speaking of hope, I know that a lot of folks are hoping that we bring back our women's health OBGYN program services. And does anyone want to speak to that?
Bonner General still is doing women's health. Uh-huh. So we have Lacey Burke, who's a nurse practitioner who runs Sandpoint Women's Health. She sees a lot of women in the area. And we also have Nicole Grimm, who is top-notch with hormone replacement therapy and also sees a lot of women's health. We are still continuing to look for a gynecologist to come on staff.
Correct.
Nationwide search, of course, trying to fulfill that need in our area. So we are still very much dedicated to women's health and providing those services that we can within the organization.
Thanks for clarifying that. Yeah, what about sure. birth services here in Bonner County?
In Bonner County,
just for the future.
I can speak to that a little bit here. So when I had first came in here, I was really curious about, you know, that story that, that everybody's heard of with the birth services here in Sandpoint. One of the things that I first looked at was the numbers, right? So and so what I recognized in the last 5 years, there's actually been a declining births here. So every year in a declining birth, that's a more of a financial burden for the hospital, unfortunately, because this is a heavily subsidized service line. To go back to our Medicaid, heavily subsidized by Medicaid, that's also uncertain. So there's a lot of financial uncertainty when it comes to being able to provide birth services. And what we've seen is a major decline of actual births here in Bonner County. But with that being said, we want to support that all the way up to the birth of being able to keep everybody in town to the point of where they can see an OB and be comfortable with that in their clinic visits, get all their ultrasounds, and have all that, that stuff taken care of here in Sandpoint. That's the goal, is to have that set up.
We have a pretty robust partnership with Kootenai Health as well. Faith, she's one of the nurse practitioners. She comes up on Mondays, sometimes Tuesdays as well. So we get to see a lot of those patients for their ultrasounds and their lab work. So they can get most of their tests done here, see their provider here, and then eventually go down for their for their birth.
Thanks for clarifying that. And just as a side note, I did travel 45 miles when my son was born from Ames, Iowa to Des Moines, Iowa to do that exact thing, give birth. And it was an interesting ride down there. So one of the things I wanted to mention is KRFY is very grateful for the partnership with Bonner General Health. Bonner General Health is a valued and essential underwriter here at KRFY, two nonprofits working together. So thank you for that.
And are there any topics you guys want to bring up? And we got just a few minutes left if there's some things you want to make sure people know about.
Put you on the spot.
That's all right. I'll circle back around to one item. We've talked about it a couple times, but I think it's going to continue to become a larger and larger need in our community, and that's the ability for either these uninsured patients and the underinsured patients to be able to seek care. We want them to be able to get that care done here. We want cost to not be a prohibitive factor for necessary medical means. So like I said, we have started a fairly robust cash pay program for MR and CT. That's the start. MRI. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And CT, a lot of people refer to it as CAT scan, but we've kind of transitioned to CT in the medical field. But yeah, but that's just the start. You know, these are pilot programs to see how the community is engaging with them. We've had a pretty resounding kind of start to this program. So it will be expanding. We're gonna be looking at adding in the other imaging services and then from there kind of scaling out. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge piece of, I think, the change in how the consumer is engaging in the market. They are truly engaging the way, if you were to think about buying anything and you want to go on Amazon and shop, that's the way people are shopping for healthcare today. So we want to meet them where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
can I add one more thing as well? Perfect. Thanks, Daniel. That was great. The other thing that I'd like to add is we started off with talking about how busy we've been this year here at Bonner General Health, which, you know, when you look at it as a health facility, busyness is like, oh, well, maybe things aren't as good, you know. But we've been busy with a lot of the preventable care that we've talked about and a lot of the services that we've bolstered up, like imaging and lab. So our volumes are doing great right now. So I just wanted to thank the community for having that confidence in Bonner General Health and partnering with us and taking care of our community. And we look forward to doing that going forward as well.
Well, healthcare is one of the big pillars for any community. You know, it's yeah. really important. And it not only is it serving the community, but it helps tie the community together. And I want to say thank you, Skylar Twight, with the CFO, Daniel Holland, the Director of Ancillary Services, and Sandy Brower, Public Information Officer and Director of Quality. Thanks for coming in. And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
We appreciate the time. Thank you.
It's been fun.